This is Scott Becker. I'm excited today to be joined by Jay Ackerman. Jay's going to talk to us a bunch about his business, how he got started, what he does, and more. Jay, can you take a moment and introduce yourself?
Yeah, sure, Scott. Hey, so I'm Jay Ackerman. I'm the CEO of Revelier. We're a software and services company.
And what exactly do you do? A software and services company, obviously very broad. What does Revelier do? And tell us a little bit about the company and the background and who you focus on.
Yeah, sure. So yeah, that's, I gave you a really broad answer, but let's hone it in a bit. We're a healthcare, software and services company, and we empower health insurance companies to take control of their risk adjustment and quality improvement programs. So we focus on those health plans that are in the Medicare, Medicaid, and ACA marketplace.
And how has that business changed over the years? A couple thoughts on what's going on in that business and so forth.
Yeah, sure. So, we exist because of the whole movement to value-based care. And with the shift from fee-for-service to value-based care, health plans have a massive amount of money at stake annually based on demonstrating that they're providing quality care to their members and that they are ensuring a broad, you know, set of members, not just going after those that are healthy and easy to care for and don't cost a lot of money. And so our software is used to demonstrate that they're performing on both of those spectrums. Use our software to capture critical information from a provider. It could be a doctor's office, a health system, and they have to review that information, compile it, and ultimately submit it to various review agencies. And that's, you know, we facilitate that. And, you know, our goal is to help a health plan best demonstrate that they're doing their job.
And how did you get in the software business to begin with? And then I want to ask you about an article you posted or wrote recently about tips for college graduates, because all of us have kids, or a lot of us have kids, some do, some don't, but all looking for advice for kids. So first, how did you guys get in the software business? And then if you get a chance, tell us a little bit about your sort of article, Five Thoughts for College Graduates.
Yeah, sure. So, I guess, you know, in terms of my career and how I found my way into software, my career has evolved over time. And I guess, like, at the heart, like, I've tried to embrace being a continuous learner. And I started as a consultant, decided I wanted to be an operator, and I moved and joined an emerging BPO company, business process outsourcing company, and then to a tech-enabled services where we started to use software to facilitate what we did. We started to evolve that company into a true software organization, and I moved to be the chief revenue officer of a cybersecurity company, and then got tapped by the investors behind Revelier to take the reins and lead this company forward. So I'm not the founder, but was able to take a good product that had been birthed and, you know, lead the team now and scale it and really bring, you know, an innovative product to market.
What's the most important thing you have to do in leadership today? Is it building a sales team? Is it making sure the software is getting better? Is it making sure customers are getting served right? Is it putting the right people in place? What's the critical thing you have to do as CEO and president?
Yeah, well, I suppose it's all the above. I think kind of number one is we've got to hone in on our customer and our customer's biggest pain point, and then to make sure that the people that work inside the business are 100% focused on that pain point, working together to solve it. So, you know, we kind of go as our customers go, and, you know, if they're not happy and they're not referenceable, then it's hard to bring on net new customers. And in the world of healthcare, in the market we serve, I think there are about 2,000 plans that we can sell to. And so if you don't serve the ones you have well, it makes it really hard to succeed in a marketplace that is that narrow.
Right. You're in a business-to-business world. Your core target's about 2,000 firms. And of that, it's probably a smaller number that are really the core targets. If you don't do well with those, you're sort of in trouble. So you really have to serve them well and great.
Yeah, precisely.
And when the investors come to you and say, Jay, we want you to take the leadership of this company that's going, it's moving in the right direction, it's got a great market, how does that conversation go? What's that discussion like? And what do the investors look at you and say, your core role as CEO and president is going to be this? What do they say? How does that go?
Yeah, so, you know, I think the when we first got introduced to one another, I was looking for an opportunity to lead a company, and it's something that's been important to me my whole life. My father was an entrepreneur and has led a couple of companies, and I've enjoyed kind of watching him and learning from him. And on the, you know, I think on the side of the investor, they had a product. The product had demonstrated market fit, but it wasn't scaling. And so they were looking for someone who had experience in scaling companies. And I had been part of three companies that had been kind of pre-revenue to public, or pre-revenue to something just shy of going public. And I understood what it meant to build a team, to get people aligned around a common set of goals and objectives, to put processes in place that worked at 5 million, 10 million, 50 million, 100 million, 200 million, and to do that while keeping an eye on the customer and making sure that what we delivered to the customer was a product that could be sold to an entire market. So that's what that conversation was about. And, you know, kind of the culmination of like those dialogues was a presentation by me to our investors, which laid out what the strategy that I would, you know, seek to execute against. And now 3.5 years in, I'm pretty happy to say that we've delivered on virtually everything that was in that document. So if we, you know, pull that up right now and kind of flip page by page, you know, we've brought it to life.
Well, that's fantastic. Let me ask you a general leadership question. What advice for leaders? You've now been at the helm, the CEO and president, for 3.5 years. And from that perspective and the other leadership roles you've had, I know you served as trustee, board of directors of a, you know, very well-regarded academy. What are some of your thoughts on leadership?
You know, so broad topic. You know, one, I kind of mentioned it earlier. I think if you're going to be a leader, a successful leader in today's environment, you have to be a continuous learner. And I'm surprised, like, when I talk to people and ask them how they stay relevant and how they invest in themselves and what books they're reading, and I'll hear from someone, well, I don't have time to read a book. You know, I think my problem is I probably have 6 books that are kind of all partially read right now. But one, you got to be a continuous learner. Two, we've talked about it, and you kind of hit on it a lot in the podcast that you do. You talk about the customer. So a relentless focus on the customer. And making sure that the entire organization's aligned around it. And I think the other advice would be, like, you always have to be looking for that next set of differentiated talent. And, you know, you might look inside your org and say, hey, I don't have any job openings right now. Or if I look across my kind of key positions and say, well, they're all, you know, they're all kind of spoken for. I think you owe it to yourself. You owe it to the company. You owe it to the people inside to continue to look for those who are going to challenge you, move the business ahead, and kind of make you a bit uncomfortable.
Wait, I think so. 3 pieces of advice I heard, and I think they're great pieces of advice. I'm going to quickly repeat them. Constant learner. Anybody who's going to be a leader and enjoy professional life has to be a constant learner. The second thing you mentioned was relentless focus on the customer. Are we truly taking care of the customer? Are they getting what they need so that they're satisfied to a raving fan? The third thing, which I just love, is the constant focus on improving the talent at the company, whether it's new talent or upgrading talent. And it doesn't mean getting rid of people, but it means constantly growing and strengthening the team that you have in place. I heard those 3 things from you. Let me ask you a question, and not to put you on the spot, but, you know, of the business books you've written, you're touching now, or that you've touched over the last couple of years, anything that's one of the business books, and doesn't have to be like, oh my God, it was brilliant, I loved it, but any that resonate with you, like in the old days, it was the Good to Greats of the world, it was the In Search of Excellence. Like, what's come across your desk as a book, a business book, that's either inspired you or touched you or made you think, oh yeah, that's something I should be thinking about, either conformatory or differently?
Yeah, so I'd say, you know, one of my favorite books, and I keep a copy of it on my desk now, which is Never Eat Alone. So extending that network, keeping that network fresh and rich and kind of paying it forward when you don't need it, and then it'll be there when you do. So that book has been pivotal for me. A more recent read is The Hard Thing About Hard Things by Ben Horowitz. And, you know, that's been a great read because building this company has been challenging, and I can just relate to a lot of what he's said through that. And I'm currently reading Startups and Downs, which is kind of a similar thread, you know, about the challenge of building a business and kind of the emotional drain that it, you know, puts on you. So there's a few, but Never Eat Alone, Hard Thing About the Hard Things.
Love that. Thank you so much for sharing. It's always helpful to be able to think about, will they read those? Will they not read those? They find them interesting. Do they not? Fascinating. And then another question, people building businesses or people building careers. And this goes back to your article you wrote on 5 tips for college graduates, which of course, cause I've got one in college, a couple more on the way. You know, we're always thinking about how do we advise them well, what are the thoughts? So it obviously is something that touched a nerve with myself and probably with some of our audience, others of our audience, but even if it's not your own college graduate, everybody knows people, young people in need of mentoring. What are some of those tips for college graduates?
Yeah, so, I mean, I think number one, companies that are growing will invest time and money in the people inside the business. And that can be a smaller company. We have, we're just shy of 100 people full-time. We kind of flex up at different parts of the year when we might have 500 to 700 people working inside the business. But at 100, we've launched Revelier University. And we commit to that twice a week for every employee in the company. So one, like I think you need to look for a company that's willing to invest in the talent. Two, I'd say for a college grad, and I'd say for someone who's 20 or 30 years out in the business, like, you still need a mentor. We all need mentors. And I might go so far as to say you should have a coach and you should have a mentor. I was a college athlete, someone who's pretty committed to my golf game. And as a college athlete, I had a coach. As a golfer, I have a coach. And work, why should I not have a coach? Like, I have a coach. And so a coach and a mentor, they play different roles. And I don't think it's ever too early to think about who can do that for you. And those will change over time as your needs change and as you become more in tune with what you're looking for in your professional career.
Jay, two follow-up questions to that. Lawrence Academy or Revelier University, where do you send your kid?
Well, you know, Lawrence Academy it gave me some opportunities I might never have had. So I'm a big supporter of it, believer in it. I'm not sure I always thought my oldest son would go there. And now that he's a sophomore in high school, it's kind of looking less likely. But maybe he'll be inside Revelier University at some point.
And the next question is, reducing the handicap, relentless focus on the short game, or focus on the core golf swing?
Well, you know, I actually track where I lose strokes. So if I go to the data, then it's focused on the short game. My putting is atrocious.
Gotcha. I mean, there's so many different theories on it. I am, you know, was a ridiculously awful golfer, and now I'm an awful golfer. And there's different theories on whether the relentless focus should be on the short game or on the longer game. And I'm always, at every season, I'm perplexed. So thank you for that help in terms of actually the analytics. And I would ask you further about the analytics, but I'll lose people on the podcast, so I won't go that direction. Let me ask you a follow-up question. If this year goes well for you, for Revelier, what does that look like? What does a good year look like?
I'll talk about success on a couple of levels. We're enjoying nice success right now, but success can be fleeting. So I think for next year, we want to show that our business can continue to grow at a consistent pace. There's rapid growth expected around that. That rapid growth will only happen if we keep our existing customers happy and those customers grow kind of their share of wallet with us. And the next part of that is grow their share of wallet through new products. So we intend to launch 1 to 2 new products next year, which means the research that we're doing right now has to be completed. Our product and engineering teams have to execute on time. And then we have to be aligned with our sales team to take it to market. So high growth driven by happy customers with some new products in our kind of sales kit that we can bring out and a team that's kind of executing in sync with one another.
So great customers, increased share of wallet with those customers, partly coming from new products being sold into those customers, but also doing great with the existing products. And then a sales team and productivity team, engineering team that's aligned with those missions and performing and thriving and self-actualizing.
Yeah, great summary.
Thank you so much. Jay, it's a pleasure to learn about you, about your business today. I enjoyed it tremendously. I hope our audience does. Just a pleasure visiting with you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, this was a lot of fun, Scott. Thanks for reaching out, and I'm glad to have the chance to talk with you.